This is a great question, by the way. Thank you for this.
Yeah, great question, Cameron. And
it's a great question.
You know, that's an interesting question.
Well, that's a great question because...
Well, you know, that's a great question. Most people don't ask that. I like that question.
This is the best question you've asked all day.
It's an interesting question. What a good question.
Hey guys, thanks for joining me on this fourth episode in Season 5 of Good Questions with Cameron Dole. Special guests on this episode include the singing group Icy Day. They've got a new EP, Clear Skies, which is available now. We'll also visit with entertainer, singer, songwriter, wrestler, so many more to talk about. Goldilocks got a brand new single to talk about, Just Say Yes. Of course, if you would, please take the time to subscribe on whatever platform you are streaming on. Comment, especially on YouTube, just simply saying listening. It does help us get noticed in the algorithm. You can also leave a rating on Apple Podcasts and, of course, share with your friends. You can also help monetarily by subscribing to our Patreon page or sending a tip via Venmo with links in our show notes. Again, like I said, special guest Icy Day, Goldilocks coming up, but we're going to keep you informed in each episode as, you know, there was a time when people were worried about walking into work and having someone say, I see that KFC I smell on you. But I guess now that's cool. KFC is releasing a limited edition barbecue perfume that they say will leave you and the people around you tipsy with hunger. It's called Number 11 Ode de Barbecue, and it promises a classic barbecue experience in every bottle. It has a smoky wood smell with charcoal notes. Now, before you get too excited about it, you should know that it's just coming to Europe for now. Now, it's unclear why. Maybe they think Europeans are fancy enough to appreciate a fragrance as fine as this. And I don't want to sound like a grouchy old dog, but, you know, I just wish fast food places would prioritize quality and value at times like these instead of, well, viral stunts and fake products. From the group Icy Day, and Sloan was trying to throw me off by the pronunciation of IcydaY, but he was unable to do so. But Sloan, Isaac, and David, it is a privilege to visit with you guys today, and looking forward to talk about the new music.
I look forward to talking to you too.
Yeah, thank you for having us.
Thank you for having us. We're so excited.
This is our first interview post album release. So,
oh, is it really? That's cool.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Now tell us, where did I talked a little before we came on with David and Isaac, and was talking about how you guys got hooked up in the first place. So, David, were you the instigator of this whole thing?
I was and I wasn't. I was when it came to introducing the two of them together. I've known Isaac for almost a decade and Sloan for probably a decade, since freshman year of high school, since I was 12 years old. And about 3 years ago, maybe three and a half, my friends always end up meeting my other friends, but it was different. It was special. Like, these are my two closest friends in the entire world, and they became each other's closest friends in the entire world. And we've all grown up in musical families. We've all grown up playing instruments. Sloan and I have been singing. And it's never clicked until I brought the three of us together and we just started making stuff that we actually would want to put out, rather than like, that's a good idea, maybe we'll keep that in the vault for someday. And then we kind of had this thought of like, I mean, why not?
Yeah.
Like, everything else we're trying to do is, you know, so different.
Mm-hmm.
Why not?
So what is it that each of you brings into the group? Isaac, I'll let you since for me, you're top left. We'll go left and then we'll go bottom. So Isaac, tell me what each one brings to the group.
Sure. So for me, I mainly bring the music. You know, I play most of the instruments, try to find the chords, the progressions. Mm-hmm. For David, he works on the melodies and the lyrics, and Sloan also works on melody and lyrics. And then they both kind of also have their own elements that they bring to it. Like David's good at the drums, so he'll help with some drum stuff. He'll help with some chord ideas. And Sloan will also kind of like come up with ideas on his guitar and then ask me to like kind of improve on them.
Yeah.
But he always gets, you know, some of the ideas started and then kind of brings it to us, and we just, you know, help him out and kind of finish the song.
As you were saying that, I just kind of pictured Sloan as like being over in the corner, like heckling. I just see a lot of heckling coming from Sloan. Right. I'm just saying like
that. I know I heckle.
Right. That happens.
I certainly heckle. Yeah. David and I bicker in the most loving way when we're writing music too. Cause like I'll do a majority of the lyrics, and then David will be like, well, I don't like this one. I don't like this one. I don't like this one. Or we start the other way around and he'll do majority and I'll do the same thing. And we argue in the most loving way, where we'll fight over like a single word, because we're so meticulous about every single lyric of the song. But yeah, I certainly heckle. But over time, I've learned a lot from them, because I mean, I'm the least experienced when it comes to music. I mean, they've both been doing music since they were very young. I've been writing music for 4 or 5 years, and I never even wrote the chords. I would just write words for people. And so they've taught me a lot about theory and about music and different instruments, and I've been learning guitar. And so I definitely have to keep up with them, that's for sure. But it's been the best way to learn, you know?
Now, David, how much of a stretch is it to do this and also the side gigs that you guys have going at all times as well? I call them side gigs, or you might consider this a side gig. You make it what you will, right?
You know, it gets tough and then it gets easy. I mean, speaking just from the acting world, how streaky it can be, how... You know, you kind of have to ride that wave of when you're up, and when you're not, you're not. Sometimes we've had times where I've been busy all week and I cannot get with these guys to write. And sometimes I will have all the free time in the world and I'll have maybe one audition in a month because of the industry, and I'll be just, yeah, guys, I can do this. Let's go ahead. Like, I'm free whenever. So it's just kind of taking what it gives you in a way. Like, when I am busy, we work through that. When I'm not, we're good. Sometimes it's not me. Sometimes it's Isaac. Sometimes it's Sloan. We all have our own things that we do, but we've put such a priority into this more than just like, yeah, I guess I'll see you guys this week or something. Like, we've made such a conscious habit of making sure that we'll be together and working or doing stuff on our own, or maybe 2 out of 3 of us will be together and we'll do something, to the point where by the time we're all together, somebody has an idea. Somebody has like 4 ideas, and one of them, probably most of them, will be made into a song. And I know, at least speaking for me, when I have an idea, I'll send it to Sloan and Isaac and I'll be like, help me make this, improve this.
Now, what is the start? Where's the beginning of a song? Does it start with somebody hearing something musically? Does it start, Isaac, with you hearing something musically, passing along and saying, hey, put words to this? Or is it words waiting for a melody?
Hey, both ways, honestly.
Yeah, everything.
It's really different every time.
Right.
Yeah. We come at it from a lot of different angles. So a lot of the time, Isaac will just have a song ready, completely done. And he'll be like, let's do something with it, though. And we hear it, we're like, well, yeah, we're going to do something with that. This is amazing, because he makes incredible tracks. Mm-hmm. Like, he's got so many finished tracks just waiting on his computer for something to happen with. And then sometimes, you know, I'll write a bunch of words and I'll have kind of a melody, and or maybe I'll have chords for it too. And then I'll be like, David, can you fix this melody? And then Isaac will get on piano or he'll take the piano and he'll make the chords for it while he's fixing the melody. Or David will come in with a drum beat. And then Isaac will immediately start producing to the drum beat once he puts it down. And then I'll start coming up with words to that. And then it becomes a very like it. One of us always starts it. And then it becomes a completely intertwined process almost instantaneously. So we come at it from a lot of different angles, but we always get the job done. And you can kind of tell with each song when you listen to them, where it came from in a way. Like, well, once you know how they were all made, but yeah.
Now, Isaac, for you, where did the inspiration for hearing the melody, hearing the backtrack, if you will, when did you first know you had a gift of making music?
Well, I started playing piano when I was 7. So I started, you know, in the classical world, doing all the recitals and all of that, but it wasn't really my thing. I was more into like popular music and jazz and other genres. So I ended up, you know, having a new teacher and started learning that and realized that I was really good at learning by ear, but I couldn't really read music that well. So I think a lot of it just comes from that, just like being able to figure out songs with my ear and trying to just create stuff that I guess I hear in my brain. But it's been kind of a new process to really learn the production, since I really just played piano until like COVID. And once COVID started, I started learning producing, guitar, other instruments. And it kind of, you know, I was more inspired to do more than just piano.
Yeah. We all got inspired to do studios, didn't we? Yeah. Now, David, for you, what inspires the music for you in your life?
Honestly, there's so much. I feel like our music and the music that either I'll come in with, or Sloan will come in with, or Isaac will come in whatever stage, is just an extension of ourselves. Like, it's an expression of a range of emotions that we feel. And I know for me, it's very cathartic to take, you know, a day that I've had, or emotions that I feel, or something that I'm like, you know, something very complex that I can't really make out, and put it to music. Because my favorite thing about music, and at least songwriting, is that when you talk about an experience of your own, somebody hears it and somebody can relate. Somebody knows what that's like, you know, makes you feel less alone. And especially when I'm working with these guys, like, it, hearing what they're able to do, even without me, hearing what they're able to do makes me want to write music. Hearing what they're both able to come up with in their own way, like, I want to make these songs. I want to make more songs. I want to contribute and help. And it's like, it's so much fun to do it in the first place that it's honestly a no-brainer at this point.
That's cool. Now, the debut, the new release, I should say, tell us about having the music out there and being the first interview post-release. What's the feedback been for you guys? Sloan, I'll let you start.
Sure. I mean, it's been really wonderful. Everyone that's been following our journey until now, whether, you know, it was our first release to second, third to the album, they've all been very supportive. And it's very gradual. It takes time to build a following, but everyone that's been listening has really loved it. And they've loved songs that we weren't expecting, or songs that we were expecting. I mean, it's kind of all over the board. I guess when you get at least one person saying every song is your favorite song, you know, it's like okay, we did something right. And it's been an amazing journey, because we've been working on this music for like 2 years, because we've had setbacks that have had nothing to do with production. It's just been a matter of, like David said, about, you know, getting our schedules on. Like, sometimes we're all unavailable, or one of us is, or, you know, and we all three need to be in the room to finish something. And it was our first time finishing all of this music. It was our first time going through this process, and to actually see it and be able to hear it and be able to share it with people and say, oh, you know, we're a music group, like, here's our music, instead of just saying, you know, we're a music group. Like, that's such a big difference. And it's so, it's just so exciting. Like, I know the guys feel very accomplished as well, because we pulled off something that could be considered impossible without knowing how to do it, you know? And we had some help along the way, but I'm certainly very proud of us.
And speaking about that, that's something I've found in interviews as of late that I think is really key, especially in the days that we live in, is we all go through the good, we all go through the bad, but I also think we need to talk about those people that have helped us in our bad times as well. Who is David? Who's been instrumental for you, man?
just in this in general?
Just in everything, bro.
I mean, my heart says to say these guys first and foremost, and I mean that in the least cheesy way. Like, yes, these guys write music with me, and I couldn't do it without them. But I mean, these are my two closest friends in the world. These are people who have, no matter what I've wanted to do, no matter who I've wanted to be, have accepted me at face value, have never made me be someone else, have never made me change or fit in a mold. And even, you know, growing up with people like that, growing up with them and watching them see me in such a different way, like it makes me feel confident. It makes me feel like I'm able to do this stuff, being able to do something and finish something, maybe in a different world, you know, in the acting world or in the whatever other world. It's so fulfilling to have them see it and watch it and be like, hey guys, I know, you know, you're probably expecting it, but even if you weren't, look at this. Mm. So they make me want to just improve and stack up to their level in certain ways. And I want to do the same for them too. And so like, it's, you know, they've both been teaching me in their own way. Sloan's been, you know, well, I teach him stuff. He teaches me stuff. It's been that way since we were 12. Isaac the same way, especially with guitar. But it's the cheesiest answer, but I honestly like feel so motivated by these guys.
And David for you, or Isaac for you. Ah, see, you guys two both wearing the black shirt, messing me up.
I shouldn't have done it. I knew putting it on, it would have been confusing, but I just, you know, embrace the chaos, I guess.
So Isaac, for you, also having the music out there and getting the feedback, and how accomplished does it make you feel?
Yeah, I feel really accomplished. It's kind of been like one of my, you know, lifelong goals to just produce music and have it out there, because my favorite part about it is like how it will affect the audience. Hmm. And just knowing that there's someone out there who will listen to our songs and feel the way that I feel when I listen to like my favorite artist songs or just a new song that I really love, like that's kind of the goal that I reach for. Mm. Like I need them to experience what I'm experiencing.
And Sloan, for you on the track list, what is your favorite right now?
My favorite track list is Twister. Twister is my favorite on the track list. Okay. That was one of the most fun songs to write. Because it haunted my nightmares, because for the longest time we only had the first verse chorus and we were like, what do we do next, what do we, like, this is so good, what do we do with this? And I woke up singing that song for like 6 months in a row. and finally, you know, we were working on other music and everything, and finally I was like, guys, we have to finish Twister. It's not leaving my head. I can't get it out of my head. And so we sat down and we worked on it and finished it, and David's vocals on it are just angelic. And then the instrumentation on it that Isaac put together, I mean, it flows so perfectly, as well as all the help we received from, you know, studio musicians that played on it as well. Joel Eccles, Doggy on bass, all these people came together to make it perfect, and to see it mixed and released, like, I listen to Twister constantly. Like, I was listening to Twister when it was just in my like Dropbox. Like, I do a lot of road trips, and so I've listened to our music probably more times than you guys have, even though you were in the recording room constantly with the mixing and whatnot, Isaac. Like, but yeah. I love Twister. That's my favorite track.
Terrible, terrible beginning demos that have nothing on them, and the sound and the vocal quality's horrendous. But
oh my god,
those are my favorite to listen to those and hear where like those songs started, and then look at what they are now, and you're like, wow.
Wow, that's cool. For you, Isaac, which is your favorite track right now?
I would say it's between One More Song and Love Isn't Fair, because they're both different styles of songs, but to me, they're like, I feel like they should do the best, because I like them the best. But then, like Sloan said, everyone has a different favorite. But for me, those kind of fit my style the most.
And David, for you, which track or tracks speak to you right now?
I mean, I've really come to love our song Deserve Better.
Yeah.
That's one of those tracks where we seem to be very indecisive about what we wanted the song to be. And it's one of those moments in music where it's the sound's still not defined. So we had to really find the sound and make a choice. What do we want this song to sound like? And I feel like the choice we made is like it rocks. And I think the guy singing the chorus is really good. and it's not me, it's Lev. And that one, I mean, I also love Open Up. That was the first song we ever released. That song will now always hold a special place in my heart. And to this day, and maybe this is, you know, if anybody loves that song, this is me saying it, but I'm still trying to write about 1,000 more with the same vibe, and yep, they'll all be better, I promise. but those two speak the most to me right now.
That's cool. Well, again, the group is Icy Day. And I want to make sure and let our listeners, our viewers know where they can find the new tracks, where they can find merch, everything else you guys have got going on as well. Let me see. Let's start with Isaac.
Yeah, so you can pretty much find our music on any of the platforms, Spotify, Apple Music, YouTube, and I'll let David tell you more about the social media pages.
So we're Icy Day Music on Instagram, on Twitter, and then we're just at Icy Day on TikTok. We've got a whole little link tree in our bio where you can listen to absolutely any of the songs that we've done. I guess find out more about us. We've got a bunch of little bios hanging around everywhere about who we are. We've all got our own personal Instagrams as well that we all share the same stuff on, share what we're doing. So, you know, if you want to be in the know, be the first to hear them, check us out.
That's right. Well,
and merch is on the way. We're coming up with a few really, really cool designs. So that'll be something that happens probably later this year.
That's in cool. time. We've been a released band for like half a year. So
yeah. Yeah.
Now I gotta ask before I can't let you leave without, where did Icy Day come from? Where'd it come?
Oh, well,
Spone, you want to take, oh,
yeah,
oh, whoever wants to take it.
I'm going to let whoever take it.
we were trying to name the band because we were about 7 songs in and we were like, oh, this is special. We're doing this. This is where we've decided on it. We got to make a band name. We would show up with like 30 band names every time we would meet to write music. And we met like 3 days a week at that point. And nothing sounded good, or everything was already taken. I mean, everything is a band name by now.
Right.
So it's impossible to name a band unless you're doing some wacky, like, you know, different thing. And so we eventually landed on Icy Day because it was the perfect amalgamation of our names that we were able to make sound like something catchy, like something aesthetic. So I for Isaac, C for Siegel, my last name, and Day for David. So we're literally IC Day. We're wearing our part of the name on our shirts and everything and our photographs. And it just kind of stuck. I mean, it's the perfect way to show that we all have an equal part in this band and that we are all, you know, we love each other so much and we are one entity, you know?
Yeah. And, you know, we also thought that, you know, where we come from in Southern California is just so cold and frigid.
It's terrible.
So like
the Arctic.
You know, it's pretty much the Arctic. So it's like we know a thing or two about an icy day being from Los Angeles, I'm sure.
There's another kitty for you.
That's you know, when it's 60 degrees outside, it's freezing.
Right. And another.
Oh, that's great. he's got like a cool design.
And they're all gathering around. They just got done eating and drinking.
Look at that one. Oh, you look sweet.
Yeah.
So I have 2 cats who are running around here, and one of them looks so similar to that cat.
Yeah, Buddy looks similar to that cat.
Is this guy, me? Like, Siamese coloring, mm-hmm. just like looks like it was dunked in coffee. Like, no.
He probably, there's a very good chance that he did spill some coffee on himself. He's
that's
good
what,
about that.
That's what it looks like, right?
They're good about that. Well, guys, again, check out the website, social media and all that. Icy Day, it has been great to visit with you guys. Isaac, David, and Sloan, and I even know which ones I'm speaking to. So I'm pretty impressed by that at my elevated age. So appreciate you guys taking some time. Looking forward to some more new music and hopefully catching up again real soon, guys.
Thank you so much.
Well, if you're only listening to this to drown out the sound of traffic, well, you're welcome. I might be saving your life right now. A new study found that too much traffic noise can literally kill you. Now, probably not today, though. It's a more gradual process. Researchers at the University of Pennsylvania worked with experts in Europe to see how the sound of traffic affects our health, and it's not good. They say, case closed, the sound of horns and engines causes significant stress, which leads to heart disease, strokes, and other issues long term. Commuting isn't the only time we're exposed to it. The bigger impact might come from sleeping in an area with heavy traffic, especially if it wakes you up. The added stress leads to more free radicals in your body. That means unstable atoms that can damage cells, causing illness and aging. A lack of sleep can also cause inflammation, which causes high blood pressure. They say cities should look at more ways to reduce noise pollution. A related study found that for every 10 decibels of excessive noise you're exposed to, your risk of cardiovascular disease increases by about 3%. We're going to be able to talk some music. We're going to talk life, talk a little wrestling background. And man alive, I did a little research. So we've got from TNA Impact Wrestling. You might know her from her from the radio, from streaming, from YouTube, from socials, all of that. TV as well. Yes, she's got reality series. Man, you've done it all. Goldilocks with us today. Goldie, thank you so much for taking the time, my friend.
Thanks for having me. I really appreciate it. I just subbed to your channel. I'm at the Cameron Dill YouTube page and Insta, and I want to make sure everybody listening is subscribed to this great man. He's doing a lot of awesome things and putting out a lot of content, so make sure you give him a sub.
I appreciate that. Now Goldie, let's just start off talking the new single, just Say Yes. I heard that it was an anthem, and I usually throw things on about the last hour before an interview, so I get the song in my head. I only had to play it once. It's been playing in my head ever since.
Aw, you're sweet. It's just something fun. We just wanted to do, we're normally like a little bit more rock, and this is more pop, as I was saying before we started, and we just wanted to do something fun. Cameron, the last couple of songs that we have, like the billboard and the back, those two, that was a remake, a reinvention of Black, Pearl mm-hmm. Jam's Black, yep. Black. And we did it in support of child abuse prevention. So like the video was like really hardcore. And then we followed it up with another original, All to You, which again was suicide prevention and mental mm-hmm. health awareness. So that was just very dark and like really edgy stuff. And we were like, let's just do something really fun and light and family friendly that everybody can sing along to and have a good time. And the coolest thing was, I thought that in the video, there's like a little, cheesy dance breakdown where we're all pushing vacuum cleaners, because we'll get into like what the song is kind of about, but we're pushing our vacuum cleaners. We're like, you know what? We need to do like a little TikTok kind of contest, Instagram, Facebook, whatever. And we just gave away like thousands of dollars in cash prizes, and whoever had the most engagement won, and it was really fun. And a couple people took home some money for some bills, and it was just light. Sometimes you just need to do some light, fun, catchy little things. So that was cool. Yeah. Now there'll be rock after that.
There you go. Really, like, and talking about the light, there's been a lot of dark lately. How much do we need a reason to smile and to laugh and just let loose a little bit?
I have decided today when I woke up that I am not going to engage. I don't ever, but once in a while I'll get real hot and I'll leave a comment online. it's not even worth doing it anymore. It's just like, it just seems like more and more and more, like, it's really tiring being an actual artist. Like, I was kind of born an artist, and I mean, I started working when I was 3 and doing acting and movies, and this is kind of my thing. This is what I do, but it's like, everybody's got a brand, and it doesn't matter if you like cut your toenail, you now have a channel, whatever. Everybody's got, it's just exhausting, because it's like, I feel like sometimes I feel like an imposter out there. Like, I really have been doing this my whole life, putting out content, had big record deals, had a record deal with Prince, had a record deal with other Minneapolis, you know, labels and whatnot. And I don't know, sometimes I just feel like I'm like this joke out there. Like, what am I doing? I don't have enough views as the person that's, you know, combing their alligators tiles, or it's, you know what I mean? It's just, everybody's got something. So I decided today that I'm going to post my stuff. I'm going to respond to people that are showing me some love. And then I'm not going to go down like any more rabbit holes of like, there's just so much. What my point of that rant was, is there's so much negative stuff that people post only for a view, or only for a like, or if I've got one more person filming something where they should be helping, you know what I mean? So now I don't even know if it's fake or not, or if it's staged, but like, help the animal that you're filming, or help the little kid that's going to fall off a cliff or outside of a window or whatnot. It's just getting to be a complete shit show circus clown act out there. And I don't want to be a part of it anymore. I'm just going to stay in my lane, put out our content and promote our music. And like I said, respond to people that are leaving me comments and whatnot. That's all I can do. I want to stay away from that other stuff.
Now, Goldie, you hit something for me. And like I told you, I don't script anything. I always, I follow along, and you hit something there. You felt like an imposter. How much since 2020 have you found that, you know, after locking up, how hard was it to get back up and feel like yourself again? And how hard is it? Do you still have to push yourself each day?
I still don't feel like myself anymore. We had so many shows booked, and then I also have a photography company. So, you know, I shoot like all these amazing artists and bands and celebrities all across the globe. And we had so many things on the calendar, Cameron, and then it just all went away. And I think what contributes to feeling like weird is like, and it wasn't just the pandemic. It was like our whole voting structure. Like, like, why would I take off from work right now and miss work and miss making money to go vote when it's not going to probably count anyway, or whatever the powers that be want to win is going to win. It just like, once I saw that, once I saw like, my vote doesn't even matter anymore. Like, it kind of doesn't. Like, that's my opinion anyway. It's like, so that doesn't matter. And then the government can literally just say whatever it wants to say, and we have to follow all this stuff. Like, I mean, I watched people with amazing jobs getting fired because they chose to not follow what was being pushed. And And it wasn't even like, you should take this shot because, I mean, I think it started out like it's going to help save your life, or it's going to help you in some way, but it started to become like, you should just take this shot because, and then because I say, and then if you don't, you're going to, this is going to happen. It just, there was too much stuff with the vaccine, which with COVID, with everything getting shut down, with like our election. And then in the middle of it, we had like a tornado. We had a bomb go off in downtown Nashville. And like, that was just a mess on Christmas Eve. And we had a tornado, and we had all this stuff. It was just like, I don't know if I ever will be, but I have a new way of thinking about things. But like I said, once the government just got so sketched out, like that was just like, I knew things were sketchy, but not that sketchy. Like, so now it just gives you a different perspective of like, again, like what we were saying about people filming things, like what's real and what's not real anymore. I don't know. Not a conspiracy crazy theorist. I'm just like, I'm out there in life, and I'm touring all the time, and I see like all these different situations and people and lifestyles, and it really does make you think. So that's my take on that. Still not back to normal.
Now, when you're out and about and traveling the different parts of the country, you know, the media always tells us how much different people are based on where you're at, but how much alike are people enjoying music and just having a good time and needing to kick their feet up a little bit?
Well, you know, I was thinking about that because I'd seen so many videos on Los Angeles where I moved from, and just, I was afraid to go a couple weeks ago because I was just like, because of what I've seen. And when I got there, it wasn't anything like, I mean, yeah, the same spots that were always Skid Row in that area and some in Hollywood with people camping out on the streets. So some of the stuff that I saw like on social and online, maybe like 5% was true. And then the rest of it was just like what I was used to, and which was really odd. Cause like I said, it made it seem like it was going to be completely different. And then, you know, you think of politics out there are completely different than the South, and then it really wasn't. It's just, everybody kind of was thinking along the same lines that I've been my friends forever, and new people that I met, like I said, they've got their own opinions and beliefs on things, but like it was pretty chill. So that's my like two week ago Los Angeles experience, where I was expecting everybody over there to be completely on one side of things and everybody to be completely camping out on the streets. And everybody had lots of different political views and lots of different views on everything. And a lot of people had the same kind of views as I did on things. And it was, like you said, like, I think more people are, again, it goes back to not a conspiracy theorist, but I think it's just more fun for the media to divide and conquer and cause a bunch of problems when there really, really weren't that many. If we didn't have the media telling us everything, and if there wasn't like, I think Facebook was like the worst during the pandemic because a lot of older people are on Facebook, and like that's where you got your news from. Mm. Like, what's that? You know, did you do your own reading? I don't know. So I think people are way more like than we give them credit for. That's a really good point to make. It's very positive.
Well, thank you. Now, to change up your sound for Just Say Yes. And how hard was it? Did you have to do a little twisting of arms to get the bandmates to feel comfortable with it, or was it something everybody was bought in?
No, we do one-offs all the time. Yeah. Like we had a country soundtrack. It was like really country. That was a few years ago, and as long as it's music and it's good, like we're totally cool. I mean, yeah, I did pop when I had my record deal. It was like R&B and pop, and you know, I was with like Dallas Austin's camp, that's like the TLC camp, and you know, Atlanta, and then Minneapolis with all the Prince cats, and even in Europe and Sweden with Max Martin, all the ABBA camps and crews, like that stuff's super sugary pop. So if you look at anything online, even though a lot of stuff has been taken down because the last record deal took everything down, I'm going to put it all back up. it's real pop, but like our guys are so cool. Like whatever it is, as long as it's good, it's got a good melody and there's goodness to it, they're going to be cool doing it. But like I said, we're excited to get on with the more rocked out stuff too, as well. As long as it's great, which I think it's a great song. It's fun. We had a lot of fun recording it, and the video is so much fun.
That's cool. Now, how much has your writing and maybe your music ear changed over the last few years?
It hasn't. Same old shit, different day.
Same old me.
I mean, yeah, you write what you know, you write what your history is. And you know, no matter what happens over the last few years, you can't take away somebody's childhood or their influences or their experiences or the people that they've met. Or, you know, if you're a good songwriter, you should be able to like take your experiences and verbally put them in a way that you say something that either somebody else can identify with, or like you were saying in the top of the hour, like something that makes people, I like to do things that make people feel better. Gene Simmons, you know, like they won't ever put out any song that makes them look weak or that makes them look like they're not completely of the light and strength and rock and roll. And they don't put out stuff. And I think a lot about that, or I think about, you know, boohoo songs are good once in a while, but like, I don't want to put out a bunch of songs that people are going to sit around and like feel like shit and like fall into a deeper hole. Like I want them to feel like, gonna cough. Hold on. I'm sorry. Just Say Yes is kind of just like this earworm that gets stuck in your head, and like whatever it is that you need to just say yes to, whether it's like, I need to just quit this job. Like that's what the video is. It's like a deadbeat job. Like just say yes, like move on, quit, or just say yes, like go ask that person on a date, or go ask that person that you think is cool to it's so funny. Like, so many people are like, oh, I wouldn't ask them to lunch or to coffee. I'm like, why wouldn't you? If there's somebody at the gym that I think is cool, a cool chick or hot dude or whatever, I'll just say, you know, hey, I'll see you around. Or if I don't, like, you know, there's a nice coffee shop down the way, or there's a really good healthy place to get some lunch if you're ever working out and you want to hit me up. Like, I'll say, like, here's how to find me on social media. Or if, you right. know, I don't want to be creepy and be like, here's my number. But there's so many people that you can just say yes to be a new friend. There's so many people I hear that, oh, I don't have a lot of friends. They're like, well, yeah, well, whose fault is that? Like, go out and ask somebody to do something or engage with them or ask them a question. At the gym is a really fun time when somebody's on their break and they're off of their set, you know, they're just taking a quick little break. Like, you say something to them, or, hey, you're doing a really good job. I love walking by people on the treadmill that are just dripping sweat and just like giving them a thumbs up and like a little wink or something like that. And like leaving the door open to have a conversation. Or even the other day at the grocery store, there's this precious woman that works there. She doesn't know who I am or what I've done, or she just thinks I'm some chick that always looks like complete shit at the end of the night when I walk in sweatpants, you know. But that's what's so cool about her. She doesn't know anything about me. She's always real nice. She lights up. And she was so cute when I checked out. She's like, I got my number for you, Goldilocks. You know, would you ever want to get some lunch or something like that? And I didn't have the heart to tell her, like, I don't have time to like wipe my ass. Like, I don't have time to do my laundry. I'm never here. But I thought, you know what? Another human being reached out to you. You better make time to do something with them. And then she said, do you think maybe sometime I've always wanted to go to the gym? Would you take me to the gym? And then I was like, all right, well, all bets are off. Yeah, of course. Somebody reached out and said, will you help me? Mm-hmm. Like, yes, then I have to do that. So just say yes to like communicating with people and don't be so in your shell. And then God, like the 20 something year olds that are out there, I don't know what's going on with that.
Being available, I think is a big part of just saying yes too, right? Being available and being cognizant of what's around you.
We got to get these kids that are coming up to get out of this funk, because it seems like everybody that I know that's got a kid that's like in their early 20s, they're kind of following the same pattern. And it's very different than mm-hmm. was that age. And I'm not that old, Cameron. And I just remember when I was 15, it was like the day I turned 15, it was like, we're going to go get my permit. Mm-hmm. And the day I turned 16, I was going to go fail my driver's license 3 times. But it seems like a lot of my friends' kids, they're scared to drive. Yeah. They're like 25 and 26 years old and they're living at home, or they're afraid to move out. Or so, you know, just say yes to like the things that you're afraid of. Like, you can't be 30 years old and have your mom driving you to things. Mm-hmm. You know, like that's her time to go. I feel bad for my friends. Like, they're just, and I know they're good parents and everything like that, but man, my dad would have told me to get my ass out the door and like figure it out, sink or swim. So just say yes to the things that you're afraid of. And again, really good point about being available, or saying yes to cats.
Yeah. Right.
Would you say that one's name? What's the black one's name?
That's Finnegan.
Isn't he just the most docile little guy?
Yeah. He likes to hang with dad. He's a studio cat.
What a cute guy. Black ones are so, isn't that crazy how people like always don't adopt the black ones because mm-hmm. there's a stigmatism or a stereotype that says that they're bad luck or something. Like, right. I've always had black cats. They're the best.
I love them. Now me too. We talked about wrestling. Let's talk about what your time in the TNA Impact Wrestling. What did that, how did that help you? Did that help you maybe?
Oh, tons.
Help you like on the down times to find that inner peace for yourself? Did that help that?
In a weird roundabout way, like mm-hmm. I learned a lot of great things from wrestling. I learned that most people in that business are so humble and so grateful for any opportunity at all. I made a lot of their clothes because I sew. So mm-hmm. I was making all the ring, whatever you call it. Shit, there's all kinds of different ways. We call it gimmicks.
Right.
In wrestling, it's like, with all their gimmicks, I made all that stuff. And it's like every time everybody was so appreciative and so grateful. And then you're in other businesses where, oh, that's not good enough, or that's not right. And like in wrestling, everything was just like, wow, thanks a lot. Like, so many people, I think, in wrestling become wrestlers because they didn't have a good childhood or they didn't have a good solid upbringing, and they're looking for like that something more. So like when you're in that dysfunctional family, And it is dysfunctional because most people have broken necks and broken backs and like they're in massive physical pain and they're injured and they're still out there working every week because if you don't, you're going to lose your spot. So there's like, it's cutthroat, but I think a lot of the people really take care of themselves, take care of each other. Mm. You know, just like when you were talking to your friends about, oh, I'm going to interview this girl. It's like, we're all so connected and I'm so blessed to have and still have all those friendships. It's, I don't have any brothers or sisters, Cameron. So it's like, in a lot of ways, those guys and girls were, and there's something about being connected on that level of like, we've played in arenas together and we've played in crap holes together. We've just done all this stuff together and you can never take that away. Like somebody that goes through the service, like our military, same kind of thing, or, you know, just people that are connected in a strange way that helps me. Like, I know if I'm ever really, really down or feeling bad that I can always reach out to like hundreds of different people everywhere in the world. And like, we can just connect like we were like 10 years ago, 20 years ago. And I know that a lot of people listening have groups of people like that. And that's really important to have that community. They don't need to be your best friends and they don't need to be people that you speak to every single day, but it's just, you know, nice to like stay connected with them. Other things with that, I learned a lot of lessons during wrestling, you know, like there's just a lot of things that you learn the hard way when you're out in front of thousands of people live TV. Like you just learn a lot of things like your everyday Joe Blow isn't going to learn. So you can take those lessons with you. And I try to share that stuff with my band members or other friends that I have and, you know, my family, and just see if there's some nuggets and things that I was shown that I can share with other people that might help them too.
That's cool. Now the new single, Just Say Yes, the preview of albums, the YouTube channel. I want to make sure and let our listeners and our viewers know. I mean, it's pretty hard not to be able to find you, right?
Oh yeah. No, I appreciate that. And then like just Goldie with a Y, GoldieLocksBand.com. Everything is there and how to follow and all that stuff. We would love a YouTube comment though, that just basically says that you were listening to your show, just Cameron's show, just put it down and just say listening and had a great time or thanks a lot or whatever. No, you don't have to judge them. I'm just giving you a hard time. That's really cool. So ours, this goes for like 2 more minutes or we're done.
Oh, we're on for a couple more minutes. How has the rock genre changed over your course of your career, if you will?
I think younger people like rock older stuff, which that's changed, you know, like there was a time when our booking agent was saying, like when we were playing covers intertwined, he's like, don't play any of this, don't play any of that. Nobody wants to hear that. Now that's all they want to hear. So that's interesting. Like it's changed where a lot of the kids want to hear like the old rock, which is strange, but that's what they want to hear. People want to hear what they want to hear. They want to wear clothes from the 70s and the 80s or high waisted, whatever. It all rolls around. People usually just come to see us. Mm. Like they want to hang with us. They don't really care for playing more pop or more rock. You can tell the crowd by what they're wearing, what they're going to want to hear. And then we'll push it a certain way, lean it a certain way. And then, you know, we've got 800 covers that we play also. And in that is a ton of pop and a ton of 90s and grunge and 2000s and now. And it's like, it's nice to be able to just be able to look at somebody and judge them and size them up and know what they're going to want to hear. Who's your bobblehead at the very top?
That is Colt Ford. That's my buddy, Colt Ford. You know who Colt is? He's the country rapper.
I have shot all of Colt's pictures. So anything that you see,
have I've you
shot.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Wow, that's awesome. That's awesome. Yeah,
trying to see if there's any. Yeah, Colt's a good guy. He's seeing if I had any of his albums nearby, but yeah.
That's funny. Yeah, I thoughts and prayers going out to him. He's
not doing too good.
Yeah, on the mend out in Arizona. So, but yeah.
Yeah, God. Oh, we got to get him better.
Oh. That's for sure. That's for sure. Well, Goldie, it has been great visiting with you today, getting to know you. And whenever you come down Southwest Oklahoma area or Texas, Kansas, let me know. I'll come jam with you guys.
I appreciate it. Let's talk with this band, whatever. That's going to be really cool. Thank you for having me on with them.
That'd be awesome. Well, Goldie, again, thank you so much for your time. Check her out online. And again, the new single, Just Say Yes. Goldie, again, thank you so much for your time.
Cameron Dole, thanks for having me.
Well, again, we do want to say thanks to our special guests today, Icy Day and Goldilocks. And, well, we can't finish an episode without our stupid criminal file for the day. Now, if you have spaghetti phobia, your morning commute could become even more of a minefield. Last week, there was a story about road rage where a woman threw spaghetti at another car, which was being driven by a pregnant woman. Well, now there's this. A 46-year-old man in Florida named Nolan Goins got in a road rage incident last Thursday over glaring headlights. According to the police report, Nolan was so upset he threw pasta with sauce from the passenger seat of his vehicle, striking another driver through his open window. The pasta hit the victim in the arms, legs, and torso. Now, Nolan also got the spaghetti on himself, and neither man was seriously injured. Nolan was charged with misdemeanor battery and booked into the county jail. He's not an Italian chef, he's a painting contractor whose rap sheet includes convictions for selling marijuana, obstruction, and battery. Well, thanks again for joining us on this fourth episode in season 5 of Good Questions with Cameron Dole. If you ever have a comment, a question, or anything else you'd like to know, you can find me on all the socials, Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, and Facebook at The Cameron Dole. If you have a special guest idea, that is, email me, gqwithcam@gmail.com. You can also help monetarily by subscribing to our Patreon page or sending a tip via Venmo, both of the links in our show notes. Gonna leave you with our good friend Brandon Allen playing us out. Be sure and check him out on all the music streaming platforms. And as always, look forward to talking to you again real soon, my friend.